It was 10 years ago when I think to myself that I discovered Sam Fazio. He's in the studio now. He's been playing all over town for the last 10 years. He's had a very, very interesting career, which is now, I'm happy to hear as we were coming up here in the rain, soaking wet, that he started to write his own songs. I think that's fabulous. We're going to be on for the whole hour, so we'll talk about that in a while.
Great.
Your history is really interesting, Sam. Music's always been part of your life. When you were younger,
yep,
you decided, well, I think I'll go to Las Vegas. That I always was was intrigued by that. Well, tell me, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Chicago, near Elmwood Park, Norwich, that way, Addison and Harlem area.
And when did music come into your life?
Pretty early on, I think, in grammar school, in all the talent shows and things like that, you know. But then I probably got a little bit more serious in high school.
Why? Did you think of it? I mean, did you, when you were in high school, did you start to think, well, maybe I could make a career of this? And if so, who were your role models?
Yeah, well, I did want to make a career of it, and that's why in high school, being in, like, musicals and the swing choir or whatever, in the back of my mind, I'm also like, you know, this would be really cool to do. And so I remember this is sort of a side story, but I was thinking of also becoming a special ed teacher.
Wow.
And I got scholarships to go to special ed, you know, schooling at any of the Illinois state schools, free ride.
Wow. How did you get that?
I applied for it, yeah.
Wow.
And then I changed my last time because then I got accepted into DePaul School of Music. And so I think about it, I'm like, my poor dad, you know, he could have got a free ride instead of having to pay.
My son's going to be a teacher, and instead he's going to be a musician. Yeah.
Instead of paying half of DePaul, which was, you know, out the roof, he could have got a free ride. But
you went to Holy Cross High School?
I did.
Yeah. And were your parents musical at all?
No, not really. No, not at all. I don't know where I really got it from. I mean, my dad always had, you know, big band music playing in the car. And so I heard that sort of going on rides with him all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's not much of an influence, I'll tell you. But so you studied voice and opera at DePaul. You graduated with an MA in 1987. Then you hooked up with some female singer, correct?
Right. We went to college together.
And she wanted to be a singer, too. It seems to me that that's a bold leap for a couple of young people to say, okay, instead of like maybe exploring the club scene in Chicago, we're going to get in the car and go to Vegas.
Yeah. Well, it was sort of, so her name was Maria, and we, like I said, we went to school together. We put this act together called Reservations for Two, and we were doing all sorts of duet-type songs. And then we thought, let's go to California, but instead of going to California right away, let's stop in Vegas, you know, and see if we could make it there, and then we could then move to California next.
What was that like? Did you have a manager? Did you have no?
No, we just did it on our own. Yeah,
no,
we just saved up some money and
two kids
got a furnished
from Chicago.
Apartment. Yeah,
and you got a furnished apartment. In
furnished
Las
apartment,
Vegas.
Right? I could walk to the Strip, right down Tropicana, but there was nothing between my apartment and the Strip. It was desert at the time.
And then you would walk into hotels or clubs or
We'd walked into hotels. We got pretty lucky by hooking up with, like, do you remember that comedy lounge? God, I can't think of the name of it. There was one here in Chicago. They were in the bottom of Hyatt's.
Not the Improv.
Catch a
Rising Star.
Yeah. We hooked up with somebody there, and we were able to play music before comedians. So we did that at the Catch a Rising Star in the MGM. And then little by little, we got hooked up with other people. We found an agent to work with, and he hooked us up with Wayne Newton's band.
Good God.
Who then helped us record a demo. And so then,
you had no demo when you went there.
We had no demo when we went there. No.
So when you would walk in and say, "Hi, we're from Chicago. We have a group called Reservations for Two," and would you sing for
people?
We had a cassette of
some recordings. Yeah,
that's pretty remarkable.
But then we made a good demo, and then we got some better gigs. But then end up leaving because, you know, it was hard work. It was hard
Vegas.
Work and a lot of rejection. Yeah.
Wow, it's like instant rejection. What did you decide to do? Instead of going, you didn't decide to go to California.
Then. No, we didn't. I sort of was the one who called it quits because I needed to come back home.
You missed home?
Missed my family, yeah. we weren't getting enough work out there to, you know,
to live.
We were two kids. We didn't know anybody else. And yeah, it was tough.
That is.
Yeah, it was tough. Is, 20 years old, you know.
It's a very bold move. You found Vegas exciting, though, of course.
Of course, yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
No question. So you came back here, and instead of, you got beaten down a little in Vegas, yes?
Yeah, definitely.
So you decide, wait a minute, you know, what I need to do is have a job that makes money.
Correct.
So you decide to go back to school?
Yeah, so I went back to school to get a master's degree in gerontology. I was always going to work with, you know, like I said, special ed, older adults, and so I decided to go the older adult route, and so then I got the day job. I started out working for Rush Medical Center at an adult day center for people living with dementia, which back in the early 90s, nobody knew what that really was.
No kidding. That must have been rough, too.
Yeah, yeah. But it was really a great experience to connect with people, you know, beyond memory. And so
You gave up music completely then.
Yeah. I would use music as part of my programming with, you know, because music was something that stuck with people longer than words sometimes. And so
I've heard that recently that music is kind of not a key to solving Alzheimer's, but it is something that people do, indeed, people who are suffering dementia and or Alzheimer's, they relate to music. It evokes memories.
Right. And if you think about it, a lot of the songs that we've grown up with, it's all part of our long-term memory, and that's what's less affected, you know, with people. Wow. And so, yeah, music was a real sort of connector for me.
Did you sing, though?
Yeah. You know, I sang at home a lot. I sang for friends. I had a piano in my house. I still always sang, but never professionally. Right.
All right. We're going to take a break here. And then when we come back, we will take Sam Fazio into his second professional music life.
Yeah.
He's been in Vegas. That beat him up. He came home. How long were you? You're still doing the gerontology stuff, aren't you?
Yep. The Alzheimer's Association just celebrated 31 years.
Wow. You got into this when, you're really right, you got into this when Alzheimer's was not the notable disease. You call it a disease?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
That it is now. Now it's everybody's worried
about. Yeah. I mean, the biggest risk factor is age, and we're all aging. We're all living longer, and so...
Really interesting. Yeah. I told you, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Fazio is an interesting man. He is still doing all that, but he did come back to music. Well, we have gotten Sam Fazio, my guest, for this entire hour. He's been at... We got him out of Holy Cross High School. He got out of DePaul. He's gone to Vegas. That didn't quite work out, but I still admire the attempt that you and your friend tried to make in Vegas with knowing nothing, knowing nobody, and not being experienced. But you decided to come back here and get a couple degrees in gerontology and developmental psychology and get into the helping people business. Is that the way you think of it, too?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, that first experience of being at that day center, I just felt a connection with people living with dementia. Wow. And I figured, like, you know what? I'm going to learn more about this and get more involved in it. And I've been at the Alzheimer's Association, like I said, 31 years. And all of my work is really on making sure that people are cared for of who they have been their whole life and not just defined by their disease.
Wow. Wow. But you also sang for friends, you sang in the shower, and at one point you decided to get serious again about music, yes?
Yeah, I was constantly singing, and like I said, I would play for friends and stuff when they would come over. And this one good friend of mine, Jason Ewing, he told me, you know what, take a chance, try it. You know, I was thinking, you know, why not?
Let me ask you, did you go out and hear music when you were back in Chicago? Did you go to nightclubs? Did you go to jazz clubs?
Yeah, you know, I didn't hear. I went to a lot of piano bars. Remember when piano bars were really big in Chicago?
Yeah, I love piano bars.
You know, and
bars.
So I would sit in, and that's what made me feel good about myself, is because when I would sing, you know, people would be like, oh, my God.
For instance?
Zebra Lounge, one of my favorites.
Sure.
Yeah, Zebra Lounge was one of my favorites. I would wait till I got off work. I was also waiting tables for a while. I'd get off work. I'd be later. I'd have a little liquid courage.
Of course.
I would go up there and sing Beyond the Sea and rock the house down.
That's fantastic. Was there one specific thing that happened? Was there a catalyst for you deciding, I'm going to get back in this for real?
Yeah. Well, like I said, my friend played for him. He's just like, give it a try. And I'm like, well, what do I have to lose? And so I'm like, you know, got back in touch with my old voice teacher, started taking lessons again, did a demo, got it out there, and then started booking places. I did a couple shows at Davenport's, and then I got booked at the Drake. And then it was all uphill from there.
At the Coke Door.
I started upstairs in the Palm Court.
Yeah.
And then moved down to the Coke Door, was there for 6 years.
The Coke Door, the home for a while of the legendary piano bar man, Buddy Charles.
Yeah.
You ever see Buddy in there?
Yeah, I hung out there, too.
He was something. My favorite piano bar guy in the history of Chicago, and the Rick Cogan history of Chicago. And you enjoyed it.
I did.
Were you a different kind of singer in all those years away from it, Sam? Did your voice obviously matured in a kind of way, but you as a performer, how were you different?
Yeah, my voice matured a lot, but I was really pleasantly surprised after taking a lesson and not having a lesson for like 20 years, I was pleasantly surprised how good it still was working. And I think it was because of, you know, the professional training I had, so that I hadn't screwed it up over the years.
Wow.
But yeah, but personally, I also think so. I went back like in 2009, I think it was, all that stuff that got in the way before, like worrying about what people thought and, you know, not feeling good after rejection and all that stuff, it wasn't there anymore.
Oh, that's interesting.
I was mature. I was motivated.
You didn't need, the other thing is you weren't doing this to make a living.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Very interesting. So psychologically, there was a sort of freedom to it all.
Definitely. Definitely. So I was just enjoying the experience, you know, finding jobs for exposure, but not necessarily to make a living, because I had a day job, right?
Yeah, I mean, you were not chasing, that's very interesting, because you were not chasing any kind of illusion of stardom,
right.
I don't think.
Right. No, I mean, I was just hoping, man, if I got booked a couple times and some of my friends would come and see me, that'd be great. But I never thought that it would actually, you know, catapult to what it is today. I'm blessed, totally blessed that all this is happening, you know?
Wow. Well, it helps that you're a nice person. I mean, you may have some dark sides, but I don't know them.
Yeah.
I don't know them, and I don't want to.
You don't want them, yeah.
I don't want to know them. Did it cut into at all your professional work? Or probably not, because you're, you know, singing is mostly a nighttime kind of gig.
No, yeah, it hasn't cut in really. I tried to keep it a secret for the longest time, you know,
from who?
Everybody at the day job, so that nobody knew what I was doing at night. But little by little, it started like blending, and so now most people know, you know. But for a while there, I was just trying to keep it quiet. But you know, it's weird to have your two worlds cross, because you know, people in the day don't think about me as a singer.
Well, one of the things too, one of the reasons I'm having you on, because I need to catch up with you, first of all, but then also I wrote about you, was it last year or a couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago, when you sang at Gallagher Way. I have frankly stayed away from everything Cubs. I mean, I stayed away from Cubs for years, but that's been a new venue kind of thing for you, these kind of outdoor, the street festivals, right?
Definitely. Yeah, it's a whole new a whole new way to get music out there, but in a different way. And I'm really trying to mix some jazz standards, but a lot of pop classics that people know, but do them in sort of a jazzy, hip way, so that people can still be exposed to get jazz, but they could also hear the music that they know in a different way. And it's been
really interesting.
It's been cool.
You have lived through a very interesting time in Chicago, and not just starting 2009, in an era where clubs start to close. You've lived through COVID, too, and the whole closing of various nightclubs, too. I mean, there are places now where you used to play that don't exist anymore, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, COVID had a big effect on things for a couple of years. And, you know, I think last time I was on here, we talked about my collaboration with the legendary duo Tuck and Patty, but you know, we worked together, recorded an album together, they produced it for me, and then we went on a 10-city tour, then COVID hit.
Wow.
And so the momentum of that really was disrupted for 2 years, which was kind of sad, because I spent so much time on this piece and working with people I, you know, love for years.
How many CDs do you have?
I have five.
Listen to that, ladies and gentlemen. He has five, count them, five CDs. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the venues, the places where Sam Fazio plays. We need to know who you play with. You don't play any instruments, do you?
I don't.
Okay, that's interesting, too, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another kind of freedom for you, I think. You know, Buddy used to play the piano wildly. And you've also started, and we'll get to this, too, to compose.
Yes.
When did that start?
It started really, well, I've been writing my whole life, but they haven't been really good, you know? But really, the collaboration with Chuck and Patty, some of that time, I spent time writing with and without them, and we've gotten some good things, and I'm partnered with a lot of the musicians that I play with to write songs with each of them. So
really?
We sort of have a nice little thing bubbling up.
Well, he has brought in here, this can't be your first recording, but it's a song in honor of the Andersonville Street Fair, right? Or of Andersonville.
Of Andersonville, itself. Yeah. So are we taking a break now, or could I still?
No, we're going to take a break now. Because I'm fascinated. How many songs have you written? Do you think? How many songs have you written that you would allow someone to hear?
I'd say maybe about a dozen we have right now that are decent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And how do you find it? Do you find writing enjoyable?
I do. Things sort of come to me randomly, and then I put them in my old iPhone auto-recorder.
Wow.
I sing into it, and then when it comes time to pull stuff together, then I, you know,
you
work with one of my musicians who really knows how to do it.
Who knows music, yeah. It can't just be the words. Then you're a performance poet. We will, all of us will hear Sam Fazio's tune about Andersonville. We'll talk more about where he plays, and we'll talk. I'm very curious about the street festivals as a good venue, because I think many people think, oh, good, you think of street festivals? Who cares? I think it's a new kind of venue that's taken some place of the clubs. I'm still in here with Sam Fazio, who has been detailing his fascinating career that involves music, but also helping people suffering from Alzheimer's. And are there different kinds of Alzheimer's? Not that I want to keep talking about your singing career, but are there different types, or is it all just diminished?
There isn't different types of Alzheimer's, but there's different types of dementia. So dementia is the big umbrella.
Gotcha.
And then there's different types of irreversible or reversible dementia. So you could get dementia that could be reversed because it could be something that could be medication related or something like that.
Wow.
Or, you know, UTI related, something like that. But then the irreversible kind are things like Lewy bodies and Alzheimer's and multi-infarct. You just hear the most about Alzheimer's is because it's the most prevalent.
Wow. Okay, we have your career going. You went out on the road to sing, and COVID stopped that. I'm very curious now about, you have found a kind of new venue, you've a new circuit in the various and exploding street fair scene.
Yeah, so I started thinking about, okay, how could I, you know, a lot of the street fairs you hear a lot of like big theme bands, like an 80s band or a rock band. ABBA, you know. So I'm like, what could I be, right?
Sure.
And no, no one's going to a street fair to hear Sinatra, right?
Well, well.
Yeah. But, you know, there are definitely some jazz tunes that people know, you know? And so I looked at how we could bring jazz and pop, which I also love to sing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not like a...
Right. You know,
and so how could we bring those together in a way that is attractive to people who are of all ages? And so we just, you know, tried to do some cool sort of hip vibes of old tunes, but then also new tunes that they're going to know, like Miley Cyrus, Flowers, or this new one, Pink Pony Club this year. Different songs that are new that people know, but they have sort of a cool jazz vibe to it.
Let me ask you, how many of these do you do a year, as summer?
Yeah, it all depends on how many I get booked, right? But yeah. I'd say about, you know, 10 to 12.
You've got one coming up.
Yes, What's Andersonville Midsummer Fest, which is the song that we have here today, the song that I wrote specifically with the chamber about Andersonville. But Midsummer Fest is coming up on Sunday, this Sunday, and I'm in a 4:30 to 6 o'clock time slot on the Summerdale stage.
Where's the Andersonville Summer Fest take place?
It's down in Foster to one of the streets up north. I can't think exactly which one it is.
Foster north on Clark?
All along Clark Street, yeah. There are five different stages with 100 different musical acts.
No.
Yeah. It draws a good 80,000 people over the 3 days.
What else is there? I mean, I'm sure there are food things.
Food vendors.
Beer.
Unique one-of-the-kind things. Vintage beer. Yeah, local beers, especially this year. But it draws a lot of people. 3 full days. Very inclusive. I've lived up north there 30
years.
Yeah,
that's your neighborhood.
Yeah, and so it's nice to be at a festival where I know people, too.
When are you playing? You're playing next Sunday?
Next Sunday, the 14th, 4:30 on the Summerdale stage.
And how many stages are there?
I think there are 5 stages. Yeah, 5 stages, over 100 performers.
All right, let's listen to, if we could, Brett and Tony. Somewhere in there, we've got Sam Fazio's original tune of Andersonville. Do you guys have that? Brett Jackson is finding it. He is engineering. Tony DeNardis is the producer. The great Adam Phillips, the world's leading engineer and bon vivant, is also in there. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Sam, just say something. You wrote this specifically for the neighborhood, right?
Yeah, specifically to get people to come up to Andersonville and see what we have to offer up there.
Here it is. Now we'll test Sam Fazio as a songwriter. Here it is.
Come on over to Andersonville. Head up to the north side beyond Wrigley Field. Come on over to Andersonville. Come on over where you can be you. Just beyond the water tower, yellow and blue. Come on over to Andersonville. Learn some Swedish traditions. Score a vintage find. Browse through unique novels, or just buy something one of a kind. So come on over now. Explore and have a good time, we can show you how. Come on over to Andersonville. Eat and drink and shop until you get your fill. Come on over, we're waiting for you. Come on over, bring a new friend or old. All colors of the rainbow, you can just be bold. Come on over to Andersonville. Find your way down Clark Street by walking, bike, or car. Have a bite or visit a shop, or even grab a drink in a bar. Come on, we don't mind. Everyone is welcome, no one's left behind. So come on over, up to Andersonville. Now come on over, and meet me in A-ville.
Okay, Sam, that's that is a nice, nice song. How did it come to be?
Yeah, great little jingo there. Don't you want to go to Andersonville now?
It is. I do.
Yeah. So I've known the folks at the Chamber of Commerce in Andersonville for a while, and we got together. They approached me and said, "What do you think about writing a song for Andersonville?" And so that's how we got here. We sat down a couple of times, brainstormed about different words that come to mind, and then I had to figure out how to put it in, bring it to life through a song.
And who are the musicians?
We got Tom Weitzis on piano, Mike Benning on bass, who also wrote the song with me and produced it, and then Kurt Lube on drums.
This is great. I think every community in the city should have a song.
Definitely.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. 77, 78 of these songs. They must be happy with it. Who? Different places in Andersonville will be playing this?
Well, hopefully. We have a digital version of it that the Chamber will be using for their podcast. And then we have some CDs that will be available at the festival. And I think they'll be passing it out to some of the store owners. And we're going to really debut the song at the festival.
What was it like? Was it easy to write a song?
You know, this one was a little easy, but maybe because I've just lived there and know about it. But the interesting thing was like, okay, so, you know, they wanted the words that describe it, like, you know, everybody knows that Andersonville Water Tower, right? How do we weave that in there? How do we weave the colors in there? How do
you
we
got
weave
Clark
the,
Street in there?
Yeah, the diversity of the people there. How do we weave in the shop local? So all of that was sort of a cool way of thinking about all that stuff, but in a different way. So all that's being talked about, but you probably don't know about
it. No, it's very subliminal. Yeah. It's a kind of subliminal thing. Well, congratulations. I think that's great. We got to take a little break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask Sam to pick another song of his, not about Andersonville. Who knows what it will be? He's got a couple CDs here, and I'll allow him to pick whatever he wants, because I want you to hear the way he sings. You're booked this summer. You got a lot of gigs or what?
Yeah, a lot of great gigs. So besides the festivals, which are a couple a month, I have a new partnership with Roanoke Hospitality. We're doing music at a couple of their places, 101 Club and Grill on 21. And so that, and then believe it or not, I'm singing at some of the Hard Rock casinos. So
are you really?
Yeah,
oh,
got a few of those going on. Yeah,
it goes back to your old Vegas.
Yeah.
You can go. Sam's got a good website. I'll spell it for you. SAMFAZIOMusic.com. A few more minutes with Sam Fazio, and we're going to end this segment with you hearing a whole song of his. They can hear that. You've got a cool, wonderful website that talks not only about your upcoming performances, but about you in general, and there's a lot of music there, too, isn't there?
Yes, there's video clips, photos, of course, the full calendar that's also powered through bands in town, and, of course, all the social media stuff, Sam Fazio Music, Instagram, Facebook, posting all the time, trying to tell people where I'm at and what's going on.
What's next for you? Do you anticipate? I know that the whole music business is so weird these days. Do you anticipate another CD?
Yeah, I've got one more in me.
Do you?
And it's going to be all originals. And hopefully I'll work with Tuck and Patty to produce it again.
Mm.
All originals and really with all the people who I play with all the time. You know, we'll have a few with Tim Fitzgerald on the guitar, a few with Chris White on piano, a few with Victor Garcia, you know, on trumpet, and bringing it all together.
Aren't you a little pleasantly stunned by the depth of talent in this musical talent in this town?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, incredible. But, you know, I think we talked about this a little bit last time. You know, they've really made
10
me...
10 years ago, yeah.
They really made me a better musician because, you know, I play with such great musicians that I don't want to let them down, you know?
Yeah,
and
you
so
step up your
own
game.
Step up my game and to really, really play together and improvise together. It's kind of like ping pong, you know? The ball's going around and you got to catch it and catch it fast.
Now, do you anticipate you're still young, to my mind, you anticipate trying to balance both of your lives indefinitely?
I got, you know, we're all getting old, right?
Yes.
So I think, unfortunately, I'm going to, close out my day job in a little while. You know, we'll see how long that's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, have this last chapter of my life really be full-fledged music.
Well, you know? I think that makes some sense now that you're starting to explore writing your own original tunes. Who's your favorite jazz performer, singer?
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean,
you got to like Sinatra.
Yeah, of course, Sinatra. Of course, Sinatra. You know, of course, Kurt Elling. You know.
Oh yeah, you like Kurt?
Yeah. He's got some great.
Yes, he's
great style. Yeah,
he's a very interesting guy. He and I many years ago taught our daughters how to fly kites together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know if they still do it or not, but you look back on your career, you must be very pleased. It's taken all sorts of interesting turns, I think.
Yeah. You know, I look at all the milestones, which I do often. You look back and you're like, my milestones have changed so much now over these past 15 years. What I thought I was going to be able to do, I've been able to surpass each time, you know, going from, okay, I'm just going to sing at a club versus I'm singing at United Center for a Blackhawks game, or versus I'm flying to D.C. to sing at an inaugural ball, you know?
Did you do that?
I did that, yeah. Unfortunately, we didn't have the right winner the year I did it, but I did it, yeah. But it was a great experience, and so every time you reach one of these milestones, you're just like, what's next? What's next? And so I'm going to keep going.
What is it like to hear your own song? What is it like to hear yourself sing a song that you wrote? That must be a quite special thing.
It is. I'm a lot less critical on myself now, though. I try to not. Years ago, I would focus on every single part of my voice and making sure that it's accurate, you know, pitch-wise and intonation, all that. Now, I try to concentrate on the whole sort of constellation, right? What this whole thing is going to give somebody versus how perfect I am.
And you still obviously love performing.
Very much, yeah. Yeah. The one thing that Tuck and Patty really taught me when I was working with them, she's just like, you know, even if you're singing in a coffee shop or if you're singing in a concert hall, if you're not giving it your all and you're not making this best performance possible, why do it? Huh. You know? And I try to think of that all the time, you know.
That's a good attitude. All right, I'm going to say goodbye to you, and we're going to listen to, what do you want to hear? I think they're ready to play.
Yeah, I think we're going to play Pure Imagination so you could get a little feel of doing a hip groove to an old song.
Here, thank you so much, Sam, for coming
in. Thank you. I really appreciate it, Rick.
Letting me catch up, and congratulations. Here, ladies and gentlemen, is Sam Fazio.
With me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin a spin in a world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Wanna change the world? There's nothing to it. There is no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there you'll be free if you truly wish to be. Magic lands, close your eyes and you will see one. Want to be a dreamer, just be one. Anytime you please, and please save me one. There is no to go to compare with pure imagination. So go there to be free if you truly wish to be. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be. Truly wish to be.